Hey podcast fam, CJ Hansen, the pastor of Wavepoint Church. Thank you so much for joining us today. We love you and we pray that this message will build your faith and empower you to share the message of Jesus to the world. Enjoy.
Luke 11, 1-4. Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John has also taught his disciples." So he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." That's it. Okay, thank you. Guys, I said this last week, so I'm going to repeat a lot of things. But if the disciples had been so present with Jesus and had witnessed everything that Jesus did, but they still wanted Jesus to teach them to pray, do you not think that even more we have to heed that invitation and allow Jesus to teach us how to pray? Right? Prayer is this portal to our life with God. We cannot have intimacy with the Lord if we do not pray. It is our deepest desire, whether we know it or not, to be in community with the Lord. Right? And as you get into this 40 days of praying, you're going to realize more and more that you cannot function outside of prayer. So we need to learn to pray. And who better to learn from than from Jesus? So we're going to look today quickly at Jesus' relationship with prayer. Luke 5, verse 15 to 16. "Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed." Next, Luke 6:12. "One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God." So if we see that first scripture in Luke 5, Jesus withdrew to lonely places and prayed. No matter how busy his day got, no matter how many people he had prayed for, witnessed to, no matter how many people had experienced healing from their sickness, Jesus knew he needed to withdraw and pray. And when it says lonely places, it's quiet places, away from the people, away from the distraction. And if we look again at Luke 6, it's important that we see Jesus spent the night praying. Last week I mentioned that the disciples would often see Jesus be ministering to people right up until midnight. And at 3:30 a.m., where was Jesus? He was back praying, right? He didn't let his busyness and his tiredness be an excuse from him connecting with the Father. So we shouldn't either. Luke 9, 28 to 29. "About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up onto a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning." Do you see how Jesus was transformed by prayer? Okay, so here through all these scriptures, we see that prayer was woven into the fabric of Jesus' life. His morning routine, his weekly schedule, he made time for prayer. It wasn't just an optional extra. It was his routine. And so prayer was not a discipline for Jesus, but a delight. And my prayer for all of us in this 40 days is that we begin to discover prayer as a delight. That it doesn't just become another thing on our checklist or religious duty that we have to get through every day because Pastor Natalie said we have to pray. But I want it to become the fuel for your day, right? I don't know if any of you have experienced this, but in the last week I've realized the mornings where prayer is not my priority and I'm doing other things before I get to prayer, my day is not as smooth. And you can feel something's missing. So I want us to get to the place where we realize prayer is the oxygen for our day. That if we don't pray, we're going to feel it, right? I don't want it to be a thing of, well, I'm having to pray. Okay, I've prayed. Tick it off my list and just go about my day. It's not a religious duty. And this is not what the 40 days is about. This is not what we're teaching about. This is that prayer becomes a delight to us, and in it we see transformation in our lives. Because let me tell you, we are going to see transformation in our lives if we commit to our daily prayer. Amen? So let's go back to Luke 11, verse 1. Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, circle certain place, because that indicates that Jesus had a specific place for prayer. When he ceased, which means he finished praying, which means he also had a dedicated time for prayer. Now, I'm not saying you get into your prayer room and after you've prayed for 30 minutes, which is what you've dedicated to prayer, that you just up and leave. If you feel the Holy Spirit's still wanting you to be there, you linger. But have a dedicated time to pray. Be intentional about the place and the time that you're going to show up to pray. Amen? And further on in this scripture, it's quite a fascinating request that the disciples would ask Jesus to teach them to pray. Because Jesus had done so many things, miracles, healing the sick, casting out demons, but there's no record of the disciples ever having asked him to teach them how to perform miracles or how to heal the sick. The disciples said, teach us to pray. So they knew that Jesus' extraordinary outer life was the byproduct of his intimacy with God, the well that he was drawing from. Also, the disciples are Jewish boys, and that means that they knew how to pray. They would have stopped 3 times a day, because this was Hebrew custom, to pray. So here they saying to Jesus, teach us to pray. It's not because they don't know how to pray. They're saying, Jesus, we want to learn to pray like you do. Okay? So they knew that when Jesus prayed, there was a whole nother dimension that was unlocked, and that's what they wanted. So we have an invitation to make the disciples' prayer our very own. And we need to say, Lord, teach us how to pray. So at the most basic, prayer is the medium or the way through which we communicate and communicate with God. So the practice of prayer is learning to set aside dedicated time to intentionally. And if we're not going to be intentional, guess what's going to happen? Life. So we have to be intentional about this, to communicate and commune with God. And we need to deepen our connection with him. So this is the point of this series. It's to live a life more deeply connected to God. This isn't because we needed something to preach about, okay? This is me being obedient to what I feel the Lord is saying to me personally and to us as a collective, as a corporate, that we need to be focusing on prayer. And let me tell you something, church. This is not happening only at Wave Point. Do you know there's one of the ladies in our St. Francis Belong group? Her mom is in Johannesburg. She's been phoning her and saying, Sam, you need to get into 40 days of prayer. She's in Johannesburg, right? Jan and Karen. Karen came to me last week Sunday. She said, on the 1st of May, so 3 days before last week Sunday, the Lord told her to start 40 days of prayer. So God is speaking, right? Lose the thing that is just Pastor Natalie getting us to pray. No, God is speaking. And if you shift your focus to the Lord is leading me into something, you're going to reap the benefits of it. If you're doing it for me, you're not going to see any benefits. You need to understand that God is calling us to this, to 40 days of prayer, because he wants to teach us to pray. Prayer is going to shift the trajectory of your life. So either we want the Lord to shift our life into his perfect plan and will, or we just carry on in the mundane. I would rather be shifting into his will. Amen? I would rather be my life transformed. I don't want to be the same person I was yesterday or even last year. I don't like myself last year, right? And how do we get transformed in the presence of God? Amen? Okay, so 4 stages or dimensions of prayer. Don't make this religious, again. So when I'm presenting things to you, it's a guide. Okay. Number one, talking to God. Number two, talking with God. Number three, listening to God. And number four, being with God. These are dimensions of prayer, and let's call them layers, by which you often, which you open deeper parts of yourself to God. So let's go back to Luke 11, verse 2. Look at my notes. I'm not even using my laptop. Because as I'm reading and I'm studying and I'm watching, I'm just making notes, and there's highlighters and red pen. I feel like a teacher. Okay, Luke 11, verse 2. So he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.'" There's two things to notice from this scripture. Number one, what Jesus teaches his disciples to pray. And number two, how Jesus teaches his disciples to pray. What is the Lord's Prayer? And we'll get to the how now, okay? So the Lord's Prayer is not just a pre-written prayer. I know the Lord's Prayer from primary school, because then there was still prayer in schools and we had to pray the Lord's Prayer every day. Anyone remember that? It's not just a pre-written prayer. It's a framework from Jesus for prayer. Right? So the first half is an orientation to who God is. He is our Father in heaven. Hallowed be your name. That is who he is. So we know, don't just get to our prayer room about with our lists. We get to our prayer room to honor God first for who he is. Okay? We're going to shift. Prayer is not just a shopping list, guys. It's not just, hey, so God, I need that house. Hey, so God, so please look after my kids today. No. We're connecting with him first. And then we get to the things that we need. So four truths from this prayer. Number one, God is our Father. In Aramaic, which is what Jesus would have spoken, Father is Abba. Right? And Jesus is the first to address God as a Father. That's how Jesus thought of God, and that's how Jesus wants his disciples and his followers, us, to also think of God. That he is our Abba Father. I understand that this may be difficult for many of us who haven't had a great relationship with our earthly fathers and our biological fathers. And it's maybe been a painful journey with our own dads. And so we see God through the perspective of the relationship we had with our dads on earth. It's not like that for all of us, but some of us it is, right? But I'm trusting God that in this 40 days, healing would come to those of us that haven't had a good relationship with our dads. Because that is the foundation of your relationship with God. It's proven that we see God as we've experienced our dad. So if we experienced our dad as just, hey, and you're always in trouble and you're getting hidings and you're whatever, that's what we see God as. So when we mess up, what do we fear? That God is just going to be angry with us, that he's going to be mad with us, that he's going to be beating us. But that's not who God the Father is. So I pray in this 40 days as we're intentional about meeting with Jesus, that the Holy Spirit would touch your heart and would shift your perspective of who Father God is. Amen. John Tyson gives this quote, "Unless you break the stronghold of false images of God in your mind, you'll never be drawn deeper in prayer." Unless you break the stronghold of false images of God in your mind, you'll never be drawn deeper in prayer. Because who's going to want to pray to somebody who's angry? Who's going to want to connect with somebody in prayer to someone that they feel they can't relate to, right? So any strongholds in our minds of a false image of God keep us from the real image of who he is. But thank God that through Jesus, we receive the revelation of who God is, not based on anything, but just who he really is. Jesus comes from the Father to make him known. So there's mystery to God that we'll never understand. It's impossible for us to understand all the entire mysteries of God. But there's parts of God that have been made known through Jesus. And that's what we can know. Amen? Healing needs to come, and we must come to a place where we view God as our Father. So, the emotional word used to describe God in all scripture, Old Testament and New Testament, the main emotional word, is compassion. It's the primary emotional trait of God. So the Hebrew word for compassion is rakum. Say it, rakum. It's a deep, tender love and mercy connected to the word for womb, right? Suggesting a nurturing and protective care. So as a mom would feel for her child. Any parent knows that as your babies are born, you suddenly have love for this little being that's probably like 2-3 kilograms. How can you love somebody you've just met? But as a parent, you know that feeling, right? The squishy little person covered in vermix. You love this person and you'll do anything to protect them, right? Parents, yes? Moms? Yes, okay. So that is what the word rakum, used throughout scripture, especially by Jesus, is how God feels towards you. So not all babies are pretty. But, you know, your love abounds nonetheless. And listen, that is God's baseline disposition towards us. He just loves us. He is God's compassion towards us. Does he get angry? Mom and dads, do you get angry? Of course you get angry. But why do we get angry? Because we have a heart of love and compassion for our kids. So we get angry because they're doing stupid things that are going to have stupid results, but because we love them. We wouldn't get angry if we didn't care. I tell the boys that all the time. I said, the minute I stop shouting at you is the minute you know I don't care anymore. I don't think they know that yet. They'll know that when they're parents. But the minute I'm not moved, I'm not saying shout at your kids, please. I do that, but you're not supposed to do that. What I'm saying is that because of compassion and love is why we get angered. But do we stay angry? No. And like my children, they know how to. Josh is very, he'll come, put his arm around me, and he's bigger than me. Hey, Mom, how was your day? And then I'm supposed to not be angry anymore. So just like that. Just like that, God is compassionate towards us. Does he get angry with us? Yes, because we do stupid things that are going to have stupid results. Can you hear that I'm a mom of teenagers? Stupid things that have stupid results. But he is compassionate towards us, so the anger doesn't last. Amen? So when you say, Our Father, because now that is how Jesus is teaching us to pray, compassion, love, welcome, affection, pouring out from the Father through Jesus by the Holy Spirit into the depth of your being. Is that not powerful?
Yes.
That's what happens when you say, Our Father. You experience compassion, love, welcome, and affection just pouring out from him. Amen. Number two, God is as close as the air. There's two versions of the Lord's Prayer. Luke is the shorter version, and Matthew is the much longer version. But in Luke, we read, Our Father in heaven. And in English, we think of heaven as somewhere just up in the clouds. Yes? Yeah? Okay. I'm glad that half of you agree with me. But even as kids, that's what we taught. No, that's where God is. He's just up in the clouds. But in Greek, the word is ranos, and it's a plural word for the heavens. The word in the first century was used for atmosphere, and over time it took on the symbolic meaning for the spiritual realm. So either way, thinking of it this way, it's our Father in the air, in the atmosphere, and what air is all around you. It's in you. It's the air that you breathe. Oxygen is in your bloodstream. So that is how close God is to you. Jesus wants you to realize that when you pray, you aren't praying to some being out there. He is closer to you than you are to yourself. You are becoming more aware of the God all around you. Close your eyes quickly. Now, knowing that Jesus, that the God is closer to you than your own breath, right? Just say, Abba Father. Now that's very different to imagining him just as a being up in the clouds, right? So now when you pray, realize he's closer to you than the very air that you breathe. Amen. Okay, thank you, Jesus. You can open your eyes. And then we see in these scriptures that we read, Jesus went to the mountains to pray. Why do you think Jesus was more in nature and up on the mountainside than anywhere else? What happens when we get up into nature? When you go away for the weekend or you drive into Titicaca, what happens? Suddenly it's just like, oh, I can breathe. Because there's no distractions, there's no noise. Hopefully there's no signal on your smartphone keeping you so distracted from the reality of what's going on around you. And I think Jesus went there because he experienced God more there in the solitude and silence than he experienced him in the busyness of everyday life. I said on Tuesday, and I need to get it for everybody, but there's a little test that you can do which tells you basically where you experience God more. It's just a few little questions. And it's like, do you experience him more in nature or more elsewhere? And it's beautiful to realize, because I love open, like my house hardly has any curtains because I just like light. And Pastor CJ likes everything to be closed and it must be dark at night. There mustn't be anything. If I could sleep with the blinds and windows open, I would. And I realized, but that's how God created me. I prefer this open nature thing. And I'm telling you, when I pray outside, I feel closer to God than anywhere else. So find your place. Find your niche. Maybe it's the beach. Maybe something. I'll give you the test and you can do it. But no matter where you are, he's closer than the air that you breathe. Amen. Number three, the primary goal of prayer is the worshipful enjoyment of our Father's company. If we look at hallowed be your name, to hallow is the verb form of holy. It means to revere and respect the holiness of God. Holy is not a moral word, primarily in scripture. It means special, unique, different, and beautiful. To say God is holy is to say there is no other being in reality as special, as unique, as beautiful as him. So I'm going to read you something that Tim Keller wrote. He has passed away, but this is powerful that he wrote. To hallow God's name is to have a heart of grateful joy toward God, and even more, a wondrous sense of his beauty. Consider how different this is from the normal way we use prayer to just get things. We may believe in God, but our deepest hopes and happiness reside in things as in how successful we are or our social relationships. We therefore pray mainly when our career or finances are in trouble or when some relationship or social status is in jeopardy. When life is going smoothly and our truest heart treasure seems safe, it does not occur to us to pray. Seldom or never do we spend sustained time adoring and praising God. We know God is there, but we tend to see him as a means through which we get things to make us happy. For most of us, he has not become our happiness. Now, I don't want there to be guilt and shame from that which I've read, but I want you to hear this as there is an experience of God that many of us have probably not had yet. And that's what we're going to discover. Amen. So prayer is the best thing this side of eternity. And there are moments in prayer when the distraction, chaos, the noise dissipates, and you get to experience a depth of love of the Father, Son, and Spirit, not just around you, but deeper within you. And there is absolutely no words to even name that feeling. This doesn't cost money. Prayer doesn't cost money. Or a degree. And you don't need a coach. You just need to sit down for a moment. We need to learn to pause. Amen? And number four, our prayers really do make a difference. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Through prayer, we partner with Jesus to shape reality into the direction of our Father's will. When you pray, you come with reverence, realizing you are partnering with Jesus. Where is Jesus? He's seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you. When you come and pray, you're aligning yourself with Jesus, and your prayers are shaping your reality in the direction of the Father's will. So they're shaping your world, your daily world, in the direction of the Father's will. Could it be, family? Could it be that because we haven't prayed, we're living in things that we shouldn't be living in? Right? Let's shift that. Let's partner with Jesus in praying that his kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I daily pray that. Father, that your kingdom will come and your will be done in my life today. Do you know that if we pray that, you are going to be led by Holy Spirit to make the phone calls that you have to make, to send the emails that you have to send, to have the conversations that you need to have. And it's setting up your world every single day in the favor of God. If we're not praying, we could be delaying things. Because listen, God has incredible intent for us. Prophecy is the intent of God over your life. So you get a prophecy. My daughter got a prophecy when she was a year old that she's going to be Miss South Africa one day. Listen, if I don't take her to modeling classes, she ain't going to be no Miss South Africa. So we have a responsibility to partner with God in that which he wants to execute in our lives. And the biggest thing that we can do is pray. I've already given you an assignment that you're going to take that song in the mighty name of Jesus and you're going to be praying that over your families this week. Because you making a declaration, do you understand the power in our tongues? You're making a declaration over your family. You need to go and read the words of that song. It's scriptural. It's not just a nice song with a nice beat. Do you know that the lady who wrote that song, the day that that song was released, her daughter was rushed to hospital and she had to be tested for a very rare cancer. Imagine, you know the enemy always tries to come and disarm what you've been doing for the Lord. And they had to wait 3 days for the results. And when the results came out, guess what? It wasn't cancer. After the doctors were telling them, you better get yourself prepared. This could be a very rare form of cancer. And I believe she had already been declaring the blood of Jesus over her family. So the enemy, no matter what he was trying, couldn't bring anything over there. So take that song. I'm serious, guys. Take that song and be declaring that over your family this week. Amen? Okay. So, prayer. We partner with Jesus to shape our reality in the direction of the Father's will. We change reality with the power of God. Prayer makes a difference. You better all pray. Okay, we've said Jesus taught the disciples what to pray, and he also teaches them how to pray. It's a simple observation. Jesus does not start by teaching us to pray whatever is on our mind. Now, there's a time and a place for that. Lord, I'm overwhelmed. I don't know what to do in this moment. But our typical prayer time with him, we need to be mindful of him first. Amen? So Jesus is tapping into an ancient Hebrew custom of praying pre-written prayers. We call this today liturgical prayers. There's a name for it. And we were speaking about the different progressions of prayer, and stage one is talking to God. A pre-written prayer is written by someone else, but it's to guide us in prayer. It's not to make us religious or to feel limited or rehearsed. It's a guide, right? And our heart intent is right. We want to connect with Jesus. and it's just a guide to help us how to pray. So examples of this are the Lord's Prayer. This was prayed 3 times a day by early Christians. Let's take the Lord's Prayer and start praying that. The Psalms. The Psalms were designed to be prayed, not just to be read. Take a psalm and start praying that back to the Father. Scripture. You can pray God's will and his intent because his word is his will and his intent. You take scripture and you start praying it. What is going to happen? Powerful things, right? I pray Isaiah 54:17 over my family every single day. Father, thank you that no weapon formed against CJ, Natalie, Joshua, or Amber will prosper. Thank you that every tongue that raises a standard against us shall be condemned. Thank you, Father God, that we rest in your vindication. That's praying the Father's words, that scripture, over you and over your family. So it's pre-written, but how much power does it carry, right? And then there's singing. I've already told you, take that song and pray it over your families this week. And I said in the first service, don't just choose any haphazard worship song. Just because it's a worship song doesn't mean it's really worship. We don't sing about ourselves. When we worship, we're singing unto him and we're giving him glory. Not about all of me and my woes and my whatever. It's not about us. Amen? So you choose the correct song and you sing it back to the Lord. So that's the best way to learn to pray, is by not hearing a teaching on prayer, but by praying. This is just a guide. You need to go and you need to start praying, because that's the best way that you're going to learn. Amen? We take Jesus' teaching and we start putting it into practice. So, you've got a lot of homework this week, but I want you this week to create a daily prayer rhythm. Take a place and a time and create a daily prayer habit. When will I pray? Where will I pray? How will I pray? Again, family, don't be religious about this. Maybe you walking on the beach is the best place for you to pray. Go there and pray. Maybe you want to come and sit in the church and pray. Come here and pray. Maybe you want to get up in the morning and sit in your lounge and pray. Maybe you want to pace your lounge. Whatever it is, because some of us, we have shorter attention spans than the rest. And then we can't sit still for too long. Then walk. Walk in your garden and pray. But find your place to pray. Amen? Your daily prayer rhythm. And start where you're at, not where you want to be. We're not going to all have magical prayer lives overnight. That's why we're going on this journey where Jesus is teaching us to pray. And we're going to grow. Our prayer life is going to grow. Amen? And then I want to say this. If you are too busy to pray, you are too busy. So give up something. Give up that early morning surf. Josh? No, I'm talking to my son. Give up that gym session. Or shorten your gym session so that you have time to pray before you go to gym. But guys, prayer has to become the priority in your day. You cannot function and you cannot grow without prayer. Amen? And prayer is not there just for emergency situations. It's our daily rhythm that's going to bring about transformation in our lives. And so I want to finish off by saying, there isn't a right way to pray. We can guide with technique to focus our heart and mind, and this is what I'm doing now. I'm giving you guides just to help you focus your heart and mind. And the only non-negotiable is that you just have to show up and show up regularly to pray. Amen? Prayer is not just ticking off a box of a spiritual discipline, but it's opening deeper layers of my heart to God and allowing him to transform me. Prayer summed up is, Father, not my will, but your will be done. Amen? Amen. I dare you. You better take me up on this. I dare you to start your daily rhythm of prayer. I dare you to be singing worship as songs back to the Father as prayer. And I dare you to be praying. If you already do, praying in the Spirit, pray for 20 minutes a day. I dare you. You're going to see a shift in your lives. You're going to see a shift in your lives. Pray over your family. Pray over your circumstances. Pray. You just coming and you're partnering with God to shape your reality here on earth. So what do? You show up. Father, we are trusting you for a new house. I'm going to partner with you, Holy Spirit, that we start praying and you pray. And I said it on Tuesday night. You have to come on Tuesday night, okay? Because the Lord is doing something very special. Incredible things happened on Tuesday night. Please come. Please come. The Lord is wanting to take us on a journey. And just come and just get plugged in. It's a few weeks. Before we know it, we're in the middle of winter and we can drink hot chocolate. Just come, okay? But what was I going to say now? Come for prayer. Oh, praying in tongues. The first few minutes, you're going to feel like, what am I doing? But there's a point in your praying in tongues that shifts. And you're not praying to God, but you're praying with Him. Do it and come back and tell me. Because when I was studying on prayer, that one of the teachers I was listening to said, he prays. And for 12, 15 minutes, he suddenly feels a shift in his prayer and he realizes, hang on, what's happening here? There's just this power that is unleashed. Do it. And you're going to see. It's incredible. Please take 20 minutes a day and just pray in tongues over your whatever. Just pray. Amen. Okay. Come on, guys. We're on a journey with God. He's unlocking new dimensions for all of us. Remember, 40 days is transition. And we're already 7 days in. If you haven't joined us, it's not too late. Join us now. But there's transition that's going to come in your family and your lives through this 40 days. Amen. Amen.